night, we have to study God's Word. We have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to study the Word to know what He's talking about or what they're talking about. And that makes us strong. That makes us not have to waste our time. A lot of time people come up to you with a lot of foolishness. They could be religious people, and that's prevalent nowadays, politically speaking, because that's what the Spirit is taking over in America. It's a Babylonian culture. In other words, it's a nation that says it's Christian and have all the outward trimmings, but they're not truly a Christian people. Because, you know, and so you have to know, because God's calling His true people out. And you have to know God's Word, because that's what's going to be deceiving you, is the false prophets and the depth Satan's ministers transforming the angels of light. Tonight we're studying on clothes and being clothed, because clothing throughout the Bible, it means a whole lot. It means a whole lot, but maybe 80% of the time in the Bible, it's not talking about garments, you know, a vestment or raiment that you put on. There's a different analogy for clothing. We'll talk about clothes next week, the actual apparel that you put on, because clothing was a treasure during those times, in those days. To have clothing, you know, that was a sign of wealth. That was a sign of having a good bit, you know, and God's laws prohibited you from keeping a man's garment, his outerwear, overnight, because that's what he slept in. That was a covering for him. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden about clothing. This whole thing started because God didn't make you with clothes on, you know. A lot of people say, well, what would have happened if they hadn't ate of that tree? See, because they tried to make their own covering. They used fig leaves. And that had physical and spiritual implications. And so much of the Bible is not about the physical implications. It's about the spiritual implications, because they actually died spiritually before they died physically. They died that day spiritually, but it took years to die physically. And we see people with bodies on the clothing and thing nowadays, and now they're letting the clothes sag and hang all down or whatever, and pulling clothes off with hardly no clothes on. And clothing make a great statement. It makes a big statement about the individual. All through time, clothing has been very expensive, you know, like a treasure. Even nowadays, you know, the children get involved, you know, they're paying so much for jerseys and with people's number on it, a certain clothing. It has to be such a name brand and everything, because they put so much stock in their treasure, their clothing. You remember, Joseph gave his brothers changes of garments in Genesis 45 and 22. He gave them a number of changes of garment. Achan, the reason his whole family got destroyed, he had seen a Babylonian garment and he coveted that Babylonian garment. You remember? Samson had wagered money. He had wagered money with the people about on his wedding thing with the realtor. He said he would give them 20, I forgot how many changes of garments, and they could answer the riddle. So that was a very costly wager, clothing. Coming on into the New Testament, you know, the soldiers gamble over the clothes, the robe Jesus had on, the vestment he had on. Very wealthy woman in the Bible, Linda, was a seller of purple. You couldn't wear purple in those days unless you was extremely wealthy. If you had a garment of purple on, it was a sign of wealth, because I don't want to go through what it took to make purple, but it was very expensive. Purple was very expensive. You hear talking about the Laodicean church, which had clothing and everything, but they were naked. They were naked. And clothing is normally as a metaphor in the Bible. It's used as a metaphor, but it has a whole range of use in the Bible. So I said, told you Adam and Eve was the first sinners to stand before God to give an account. And in the passage are four elements that apply to what Abel believed. The first element is that God, in order for a sinner to stand before God, nakedness must be covered. your nakedness must be covered. So God had covered the man, but notice he didn't have on clothing, physical clothing. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered. You remember that? He was the anointed cherub. So we're looking at a spiritual covering, but that Satan brought this thing in the physical through their disobedience to God. That's what happened. Because the moment he ate of that tree, his eyes was open. Satan only told him part of the story. But like Paul Harvey used to say, my Daddy Jr. used to tell me, he used to listen to Paul Harvey all the time. And Paul Harvey said, for the rest of the story. So Adam was scared. And when God asked him where he was, and he said, I was over here hiding. He said, well, what's happening? He said, I was afraid because I was naked. He said, what? Who told you you were naked? You see, because they wasn't ashamed. They were in their birthday suit when they were created. They wasn't ashamed because they didn't see it in a physical light. They were in spiritually. And if we become spiritual, we'll stop judging people by what they're wearing, by the clothes. Like James said, a man come in with godly apparel and a tie and everything. You treat him like a king, but somebody come in dressed like a beggar or with nothing hardly on or whatever, and you treat him bad. People address people, oh man, look at what he got on. He got a nice leather coat or she got this on or whatever. Women look at other women, oh man, she dressed like a harlot or something. You know, people can tell a lot by how you dressed. So he says, who told you you were naked? And they had fig leaves. So we see anything we put on is not sufficient. That God provided a covering for thee. So that's where we get in with Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient as a covering. Unless you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's not sufficient. That's why all religions fall short, because it says God himself gave them a covering. He made skins. Where did skins come from? Animals. So an animal had to be slain. That's where blood sacrifice started. So that the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, to cover your sin, to cover our sin, that's where God had provided himself a sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. At its best, it indicates innocence, childlike simplicity, and vulnerability. You know, a person, when they're naked, if they're, you know, they feel vulnerable. You know, you don't want to fight nobody if you're naked. You don't want people to see you naked. It's a sign of vulnerability, and it's also a sign of shame. You know, it says, cover your shame, cover your nakedness. But it's a sign of losing pride, losing something about yourself, and that's why the people are uncovering themselves, because they have no shame. They're no longer shameful. Women are showing all parts of their bodies and all of their bodies and things, which should be for their husband's consumption and not everyone else. Men are walking around with their pants pulled down all the way to their thighs and legs or whatever. That's shameful. But we're not looking at the physical. That's why I say I want you to look at the spiritual things here. And it's indicative of humiliation, guilt, or shame, or punishment. Adam and Eve were attempting to hide their humiliation and guilt and shame when they grabbed these few fig leaves, which covered the parts in which they thought were. And as if we notice, the wedding garment is a conspicuous and distinctive representative of a person's righteousness. So God's the robust as a bride wedding garment. There's nothing, anything compares to the significance of a woman's wedding dress. They keep those dresses for years and they'll try to pass it down to their daughter or something. That dress has to be white. It has to, without a spot or blemish. So ourselves, we have to be robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ without a spot or blemish, because our own covering, our own righteousness, has filthy rags. is some, a lot of people say, well, she can't wear white because of her lifestyle or whatever. She shouldn't wear white or whatever. Indicative of that's a lack of purity or something. It symbolizes the habit of sincerity, repentance, humility, and obedience. It replaces the street clothes that stands for habits of pride, rebellion, and sinfulness. Now, we're talking in a spiritual sense. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you, the bride of Christ, it shows that you're in obedience to a husband, which is Jesus Christ. It shows sincerity. It shows a repentant life. It shows humility, a humbleness, because why? He's clothing you. You clothe with his righteousness. This is something he's putting on you. These are garments that he puts on you as you pull off the street clothes. You have to pull off these other things. Pride. You remember I told you that arrogant pride of providing your own covering. A lot of people like to be different. A lot of women say, I ain't gonna wear that. She got on that or whatever. Wear this, wear it, and everybody can have white on. You know, you can have white robes on. Don't think about it in the physical now. Think about it in the spiritual. You're going to be covered with Jesus Christ. That's what you're going to see. And it's better that way because each person is different. Well, we're looking in the spiritual, he says. You will pull off rebellion. You will pull off sinfulness. So in other words, you have to pull everything off. You have to pull everything that's clothed you, which is your entire attitude. You got to pull that. That's a nasty attitude. You got to pull it off. It causes you to be dirty. All of you have to die. It has to be replaced. You have to pull that off and put on Christ. Biblically, beautiful clothing indicates spiritual character developed by submission to God. Paul exhorts Christians to put on the Lord Jesus like a garment, right? Clothing then represents a Christ-covered life, and as a result, character consistent with God's way of life. That's why I say it's not that deep a cut yet, but what I'm saying is, in the church, when you're talking about clothing, and, you know, I was in this church, and they was preaching on the women's clothing and how long the dress should be and this and that. That's beside the point. Different customs, different areas and everything, we shouldn't be tied up with that. You've never heard me telling anyone in here what to wear or whatever. Because if you're in Christ, he's going to legislate to you. You will feel that you shouldn't wear this or whatever. You know, it's a lot of times we out and about or whatever, and I'm doing things, and I said, well, we'll go to the church or whatever. Not my wife. She said, no, I got to go by the house or something. You can, of all the years any of y'all been in this church or whatever, think about what Sister Jackson have had on any time she came in this church. See, God legislates what you wear. If a preacher has to tell you what to wear, they get up there and preach on earrings and preach on all these other things that God has to clean you up. See, a fisherman catches the fish. All we're doing is catching the fish. God has to clean him up. Don't go telling people, oh, this is the Sabbath day. You got to honor the Sabbath. Well, let God convict that person of that. If he want to work on Saturday, if he want to not tie, if he want to do anything else, if God don't convict him, that's between him and God. I can only tell you what God says. He have to convict you, that spirit. That's why you have to put on Christ. He has to be in you, and the spirit's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. You have to be convicted, because I can holler all day and everything, and you could just say, oh man, forgive him, I am not doing this. The Spirit has to guide you, and that's what monitors your life. So as a covering, look at garments. You remember I told you a garment? Now, listen at how many times in garments, and see how many times I mentioned clothing here, okay? Let's go. Of righteousness, Isaiah says 61 and 10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he had clothed me with the garments of salvation. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. Now, what did Christ do? Did he do anything clothing-wise? Or was it spiritual? the garments of salvation. He covered me with a robe of righteousness, his righteousness, because my own righteousness not going to make it. A lot of people think they're going to get to heaven their way without anything from God. I think I'm a good person. I did this and I did that, and I lived this way. Okay, good thing. And the highway to hell is going to be paved with people that's good people that hadn't did this and had felt they hadn't did that. But it ain't about what you think. See, he died for you to do it his way, that you will be obedient to him. That's why a lot of people say from other religions won't make it, because it's this way or no other way. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So you have to be obedient to him. Okay, let's talk about this garment. Matthew 22 and 11. But when the king came in to see the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed appropriately in wedding clothing. That's in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where the king had this great wedding feast and nobody wouldn't come hardly or whatever. So he told all of his servants to go out and get everybody and bring everybody into the wedding feast. And then when the king came in the wedding feast, he came in and saw a man. Okay, that's going to take a whole lot. I might preach on that Saturday. I might make that a sermon before and after, okay? Because that's the church. That's the Lord's stuff. In other words, bring them all in the church. Remember Peter with the catch of fish, and they caught a draught of fish, all these fish, but then they sat down and they sorted the fish out in the net. They sorted the fish out. God says, let the wheat and tares grow up together. Let them all come into the church. But it's people in the church that hadn't put on Christ. They sit right in the church and not doing what Christ they do. They're not clothing themselves in Christ. So all the churches in the world, that's why Christ says, he's not for me, he's against me. I don't care if he's sitting in the building. I don't care how many times he comes to the church. If he's not doing what I say, if he's not in my word, he's not robed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's not in Christ. You have to put on Christ, and he puts you on by obedience to his word. You have to continue in the word. When the king came in, who's symbolic of Jesus Christ, of all the people in the church, for all these guests out, is going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because yes, they're in the church, and they've been cast out devils, and Judas will say, yes, didn't I do when I was your disciples, and I cast out, sure you did, Judas, but get out of here. Woe unto you. He's going to cast a lot of them out, because they hadn't put Christ on. The rich young ruler, he can't, because Jesus says, sell all that you have and follow me. You see, we have to start listening at what Christ says, because you need to put him on. Putting him on is being a doer of his word, of what he say. Adam and Eve didn't put him on. They disobeyed Christ. That was their righteousness. So it says, throw him out. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 3. He started the first verse. This is the second verse. It says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed up on with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Nothing to do with clothing, right? But they use that metaphor of being clothed. It's because it says from heaven. Let's read it in the King James. It says, we grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies. I get tired of people asking me how I'm feeling or whatever. These old knees and everything, people say I have to put off this tabernacle. My eyesight sometimes is not as good. My wife say my hearing is shot. You know, it's just all kinds of problems. And I don't put on a corruptible, incorruptible body. I don't pull off this old corruptible body. See, I'm putting on Christ. He's going to give me eternal life. He's going to give me a spiritual body. You remember when he came back, the body that he had? They know who he was. That was Jesus. But he says, fill me, flesh that don't have, the spirit has it. So he had an actual body. He let them touch him and feel it. It wasn't something that their hand didn't go through it, because they said, well, look, stick your hand in the nail holes. It was a body now, but it wasn't a fleshly body. Because flesh, the carnal man, that type person is enmity with God. jealousy. That's what happened to Adam. He became flesh and carnal, which is against God. We have to become spiritual like Christ, the new birth. Because this old man is what? Demon. It's Christ in us. Remember, we're buried. That's what the symbol of baptism is. It's a burial. It's a watery grave. And we are to rise up to walk in the newness of life. Once we get that mindset, once we put that mind in us, you're getting stronger spiritually each day. If you can't see your neighbors and other people looking at you differently and things starting to look, you need to check your spirituality. You need to pray more. You need to do other things and walk in God because you should be getting stronger. You should see it and feel it. He says, I want long to be put our heavenly bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing, for we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. See, that's why it's important, because your body is no longer your body. It belongs to Christ now. You have to watch how you treat that body. That's why when I walk past the mirror, I hate to see myself. I said, look at that stomach out there. Look at this guy here. And he said, I said, I'm going to go back in the gym. I'm going to start counting calories. I'm going to do all these things. Because you probably go look in the next life like you look at in this life. You will be recognizable. Jesus wasn't some different person. They did recognize him as Jesus. They didn't say, whoa, Jesus, you put on weight. No, he was the same. So we need to get these bodies. You know what I'm saying? We will be known as we are known. Okay. Revelation 3 and 18. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold that has been tried in the fire, and refined by fire, so that you become truly rich. Because you remember the Laodiceans thought they was rich and had need of nothing. They had all types of money and clothing and everything. And he's saying, buy this from me. In other words, a life. In other words, go through trial and tribulation. Live a life in white clothes, representing righteousness. In other words, the only way you can get righteousness is through Christ. To clothe yourself so that the shame of your nakedness will not be seen. You have to be clothed so your nakedness, that means they had to put on Christ. And healing salve to put on your eyes so that you may see. They were spiritually blind. They could see in the physical, but they were blind. That's why he says, he that have ears to hear and eyes to see, because it's a lot of people out there that can't see and can't hear, even though they can physically. Revelation 7:14. Of all these verses, we hadn't talked about physical clothes yet, had we? Revelation 14:7-14. And I said unto him, sir, these were the people that were there. You remember the souls under the altar and all these other saints he was showing John around in heaven. And he said, sir, you are the one who knows. Because he asked him, who are these? He says, then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They came through great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. So was it their lives? Right. Their lives had been purged and had been cleansed by Jesus Christ. It wasn't clothing that they had on. It wasn't apparel that they had on. The robes was the righteousness they had put him on spiritually. Those was going to be the redeemed. Revelation 16:15. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So apparently this garment is something that he has on, but it's still shameful. It's visible for other people to see that he is naked. So it's not a proper covering. That's why he provides a proper covering, that you be properly covered. Let's read it in a different aspect, in a different version. It says, look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all those who are watching for me, who are keeping their clothing ready so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. Sounds like the five wise virgins there. They kept oil in their lamp, kept their lamps trimmed. So that, in other words, they was reading in God's word. They were studying God's word to show themselves approved. They were praying. They was looking unto the bridegroom, and they were covered by the word. They had continued under the blood of Jesus Christ. That is not someone who got a little touch of salvation and thought it was good, like real cream that a little dab would do them. Let's read it in the Amplified version. He says, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and who keeps his clothes, that is, stays spiritually ready for the Lord's return, so that he will not be naked," in other words, spiritually unprepared, "and men will not see his shame." See, that's why I say in this nation, we're spiritually unprepared. You remember I was telling you last week that the Attorney General came out naked. He was naked because he made a statement about government out of the Bible. He made a statement that men should respect, and which was scriptural. But his nakedness showed that he hadn't studied the Bible. He didn't really know the Bible. He wasn't a doer. He didn't have the love of God. He didn't care, because even the world told him what the rest of that chapter and the rest of what that scripture means. See, that's why when preachers preaching or people talking, you can tell where they are. You know, a wise head totes a steel tongue. In other words, people don't know that you don't have good sense unless you open your mouth and they hear you talking. You know, it's a lot of people don't know that you're in bad shape. That's why, you know, a lot of times people sit there and they observe you, and not until you told me, I wouldn't have known. You see, a lot of preachers and things, that's why you have to get to know people. Because they might can quote the scriptures, and Satan can quote the scriptures, but there's something lacking here. That's something that's not right here. Revelation 19 and 8, it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." You see that? It's not clothing, is it? But it was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now, hadn't we all did things that we would be ashamed of? So this is something that's spiritual, a change in life. We pull off the dirty clothes. I think it's the Amplified version, it says she's been permitted to dress in fine linen, dazzling white and clean, for the fine linen signifies the righteous acts of the saints. You remember Anna? 100 years old, I said, I thought she probably was 100 according to the scripture things or whatever. We know she was in her 90s or whatever. But you know, Anna had a prayer life, and it says she stayed around the temple fasting and praying or whatever. And she got to see the Savior. Because of her righteous acts, her life, she was living a life. You see, that's why with the goats and the sheep, and Jesus put some of them on the right and some on the left, and looked like some of the sheep wasn't expecting to be granted admittance to the kingdom of heaven. But he says, "Enter, for this is the kingdom that had been prepared for you from the foundations of the world." And he says, and they was wondering, how did they make it? And he said, "Well, when you saw me naked, you gave me clothes. When you saw me hungry, you fed me." And all these things, and they said, "Well, look, Lord, when did we see you in this destitute situation? Because if we know it was you, we'd have gave everything. We'd have did all these things because we know we can get something out of you. You was a man with money. You was a person that we could have had respect of, person or whatever. But you know who he was. The reason he told us to be kind to strangers, because might entertain angels in a way." In other words, when you did it to that drunk, when you did it to that harlot, he said, "Publicans and harlots before you did." When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. That's why you got to watch how you treat people. Watch how you holler at them children. Watch how you do people in life. Watch how you treat these immigrants. Watch how you separate families. Watch how you talk about people that's alien or different from you and treat people other than you and think, "Well, we want y'all good people. We want the respect." That's what our president says. Send us your best people. Don't send us the criminals and hoodlums and that. See, Jesus ate with those type people. He ate with sinners and drunkards and everything. Because the whole, they don't need a physician. If he a genius and that smart, why is he coming here? You don't need to come here, but you're asking for the best. See, people, if they know you somebody or something or popular, they want to be friends or something with you. But let you be somebody that they think is nothing of the lowly and see, don't they treat you bad? You have a respect of person. Clothing that doesn't mean that much. He created you with clothes on. Until you realize who's the maker of the clothes and why the clothes. In Deuteronomy 8:4, he calls us to remembrance. He says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years? The reason I led you in a circle in the wilderness, because they was right at the promised land. They was right at the promised land, and he led them in a circle. He says, it was to test you, to humble you, to prove your character. See, God has to, that's our purpose here, to develop our character. That's why when you get saved, he don't just take you on home. He don't just call you back to heaven. Character has to be developed. Who are you if we squeeze you real hard? What comes out when you hit your finger? Is it a swear word? What comes out when you're broke? How do you look up on God when you got money in your pocket? How do you look at God at different times? He says, it was to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister, nor swell. He was protecting their diet. So you wasn't growing too fat, was you? You didn't grow out of your clothes. You didn't have arthritis and all this inflammation and the things you have today. But there was a rebellious and obedient people, the same as we are today. That's why the sicknesses and illnesses, because he gave them a dietary plan on what they should and should not eat. He gave them different things of how to conduct their lives. Listen at the 29th verse of Deuteronomy. I'm going to try to bring this home in the next two verses. He says, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart and a mind to understand, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. He had told them that he didn't give them a heart. There's no way you could understand this. We have to be aware of that. When I tell y'all to pray for people and help people, and that you have to learn Jesus Christ and walk in a way to be a Christian, but don't be naive. Because you can't help everybody, or you'll end up broken and worried to death and on a string. He didn't give them a heart to understand. He didn't give them eyes to see, nor ears to hear. They couldn't understand what he was saying or doing. He said, I've led you in the wilderness these 40 years. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread. I remember from. I'm not going to call his name. Brother used to go here, and I was talking to him. I say, well, you're a diabetic, you know, and I'm a pre-diabetic, and my doctor told me to give up bread. I got to have bread, Brother Jack. You just don't know. I have to have bread. I said, you don't have to have bread. I said, he didn't want to understand it, but he didn't have to have bread. He liked bread. He wanted bread. He loved bread. That's a pleasure. But have you noticed that these people didn't have bread in 40 years? Their bread was manna that which came down from heaven. So they didn't have to have bread. He told them, he said, you have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk strong wine or drink. Some people got to have a drink, right? A little dab, you know, a little sip here to sip that. But you remember, they was on the run, so they didn't have anything. Well, he was giving them water out of a rock. He wasn't letting them plant food underfoot and stay there and let it grow in the grapes and things, growing they make wine or whatever. So he was controlling their diet and what they were drinking and everything. Thus, they were in better health. their feet wasn't swelling, no inflammation. Nobody's clothes wasn't wearing, because spiritually he was keeping them. Now, I didn't say that they didn't have change of clothing. I'm sure they packed up clothes and things when they left, and they would wash clothes and change of clothing. You know, but if a lot of us, we might have two or three shirts or two or three pair of pants or whatever, but you could keep them clean by rotating. He didn't say they had the same thing on, but it wasn't as like a lot of us, if we look at a lot of shows where people have closets of clothes and everything. I used to tell you about my mother used to have what you call a chiffreau, one of those cedar chests. And she had a few dresses in there. It was her Sunday go-to-meeting dresses. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to have a whole trunk of whole closets of dresses. Them was our rooms. We didn't have but a couple of rooms in the house, but she had a cedar chest or a chiffreau or whatever where she keep the clothes. But people love to have, I don't know how many clothes and things, and they don't even wash the tennis and sneakers now. They pay $200 or $300 for them, and when they get a little bit dirty or something, they just throw them out. Let's go get another pair. He says, so that you might know that I'm the Lord, I want you to depend on me. They were depending upon God to keep them. Now notice now, working wasn't in the picture, was it? Because they were just going around in circles. They wasn't working anything. They didn't need money for anything. Because he was feeding. That's why it says, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So they were looking to depend upon God. It was an agrarian society. And so they wasn't in competition, somebody wearing better clothes or had this or whatever. They was just depending upon God. It's the Amish right now do the similar to thing or whatever. But we get used to modern comforts and everything. And I don't want to live like I was when I was young. I don't want to chop no more wood. People be talking about a fireplace or whatever. I would rather see a thermostat, air conditioner. So I didn't chop enough wood and sit around with enough burning fireplaces or something. I don't want to see no fireplaces and things. Nehemiah 9 and 21 says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thine manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet didn't swell. God, just as he was then, he is now, trying to get us to completely depend upon him. But we want to worry about everything in the world. And he says, see that you worry not. And the flowers, they spend no toil, but the lilies of the field, they are arrayed much more better than anything in Solomon's coat. The birds, they say, they neither sow nor reap, but God feeds them. And I'm, as a man of God, I've been trying to help not to feed them these last few weeks. You know, that's why it says the early bird gets the worm. Well, I've been trying to stop the early birds from getting the feed. Because as those feeds ripen each day, I ask my wife, I go out there and try to get them off there early in the morning. If not, the birds will come in there and they only get the ripe figs, the one that's brown, and they'll eat a little bit off this fig and they eat a little bit off that fig, and then the figs, the whole tree of figs will be ate up before you know it. So what I do, I pull those figs off that they do get a chance to eat off of and throw them away so they won't attract them to the tree. But each morning and during the day, in the evening, I get all the brown, the figs that's ripe out of there. And I can them, right? So that's what the cycle they was in, because it's a cycle of work. I can't wait a week and say I'm not going to pick any today. I go out there next week, they're going to be gone. So each morning I get up and get me some figs and I get me some jars and things there, and that's the 10 of them that afternoon of the next day. Me and my wife, she the day her birthday, so that's why I did fast the day or whatever. She said she wanted I want some biscuits and figs and some bacon or whatever. So I opened a jar of figs and cooked some bacon in the oven or whatever. And some milk and some nice cold figs. And, you know, we have to depend on God. And things will get back to where, you know, they used to raise all that stuff or whatever. If we look more to God, if we just want to stay busy and working and looking unto God, he'll provide. But if you get tied up with buying clothing every time something this comes out or something new, a new fad, you'll get caught up in the world. Clothing could be a treasure. Some people's treasure are the televisions. We were talking about telephones before we started. Some people just have to have everything Apple makes. Some people, where their hearts are, the treasures are. But you're covering what you actually need is Jesus Christ. That's all you need is Jesus Christ. I didn't mean to get off on that for a tangent. So Christ is our covering. An interesting spiritual lesson comes in understanding the application of the symbolism. Adam threw together as a covering whatever was handy. So he grabbed fig leaves. That's my story of the figs just now. I couldn't just go out there and stick a lot of figs together. But it was probably a different fig. You know, Amos was a farmer, a sycamore tree farmer. That's a type of fig that has a different type leaf. And we don't know how that has changed over the years or whatever. But that was an inappropriate covering. What they chose to cover themselves physically was totally inadequate as a spiritual covering. So clothes don't make the man. You didn't heard that before. A lot of people have respect to a person according to clothing. You know, that's what Jesus was telling them. Say, what were you looking for? And they were looking for those with fine garments. And that's who they love nowadays, the preachers that's having a jet and having tailor-made clothes and a couple thousand dollars for a suit or something. Those are the real preachers and things, they say, they figure. But Jesus talked about John, and he said he was girded with a leather girdle. He ate honey in locusts. John was truly a prophet. But he wasn't dressed like a prophet, was he? See, we're looking at the physical. We have to listen at what John says. He said, there's no greater than John the Baptist among all the prophets. So we have to quit looking at it in that venue. God rejected their efforts. It's good to remember the overall principle to appear before God covered with something that's acceptable. That's why we're able to go before the veil of the temple now, because that had been split, where we could boldly go before the throne of grace and petition God in Jesus' name, because we're covered. When he looks at us, he's looking at his son, if we're in Christ. That's why if you ask him, the Father, anything in his name, he'll give it, because he's giving it for the use of his son. And if he sees his son in you, then you have that which you asked him for. And the only way you can do that is that you keep his commandments. You walk in his way and walk in his word. The symbolic instruction carries through both to the physical and the spiritual applications. And a person who cares what God thinks will do his best to conform to what he thinks pleases God. That's why I say God would govern your dress. God would govern the way you talk to people. You remember I was telling you about the man in the watcher terrier that I told him, well, no, I don't have time to give you a jump, but then I recant it and say, well, look, okay, well, go ahead on and I'll hurry up. Because God is watching. If we go around knowing that God watches everything we do, how would I have felt if I'd have told him, no, I didn't have time to help him? You remember I told you he had a withered hand. And that he was in desperation. His, one of his wife, or who it was, the woman that was with him, in an old broke-up car. And I took time and said, well, okay, well, I'll help you. So I told him, I said, look, I got to get the bike. So, but I stopped and I told you I helped him. How would I have felt if I'd have told him, no, I didn't have time, and then I'd have got here, and we were sitting around waiting before Bible study started anyhow. We didn't start at 7:30. And then I said, you know, I should have. And see, we don't want to be hung up on should have and what I should have, could have, would have done. You need to start doing that and knowing that that's where God is right then, helping him. And he followed me. Said, you know where Florida Street is from here? So apparently he wasn't from here. And so I said, yeah, I'm going that way. I'll show you where it's. I said, look, if you go down through these streets here, it's down that way. I didn't tell him I was going that way. I take that back. I said, Florida Street, you have to go across all these other streets, and you'll get to Florida Street. Well, he followed me. When I turned my truck around and went this way, he followed me. And when I got on Florida, I seen he was following me. Well, I got almost to Florida. I was coming down North Boulevard, and I pointed this way. I say, Florida this way. I say, well, no, I don't have to go all the way down this way. Let me turn right here. And I turned up on the side street there, Eugene Street, and I went to Florida Street. And that's when he waved, and I turned and went on down Florida. He followed me a piece down Florida, but then I came on home. Well, it was a little bit out of my way the way I wanted to go, but that's what I don't do. I do that what I feel is pleasing unto God. So by doing it that way, I help someone, and I'm still here on time. So that is our example. The second element in Genesis 3 reveals, takes us a step further spiritually in regard to covering. What human devise in terms of covering spiritual nakedness is in reality worthless. So we can't say, well, we've done this. I think God should be happy with me. I went to church this day. That's not making God happy. That should make you happy or whatever. Are you following God's purposes? Are you being obedient to Him? The other day, Brother Jackson was saying that he started to stay home because he didn't rest at night. Well, hopefully it benefited him that he did come, because God does say, forsake not to assemble together. Hopefully he heard something that would help him and strengthen him. See, but we follow God because He wants us to learn to push ourselves to do those things that we think are pleasing unto Him and not self. We have to sacrifice not sleeping, not eating, or not doing what gives us pleasure, and relent and follow God. God Himself must supply the only covering that is spiritually adequate. And that's why He gave us His Son. That's the only covering. And He provided Himself. He provided His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. The fourth element is that the only adequate covering is by means of death. Huh? Did y'all understand that? The only way you could be covered is to die. That's the only adequate covering. Okay, did we hear me preaching early and teaching? Because spiritually and physically, how can we fulfill this? In other words, baptism is that outward sign of an inward action that we're buried with Christ. In other words, we die in the self. We walk, rise up the resurrection of life, to live a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I no longer live, but it's Christ living in me and through me. So it's not what I want, it's what Christ wants. I don't live to please myself. Now, it's hard to do that. That's going to be a struggle. It's going to be like I told you. I don't like trying on clothing. I don't like going to the store trying on something. I buy it. If it fit when I get home, it fit, I have to send it back. I buy a lot of things through the mail. I got some gym shorts and things through the mail today. Hopefully, it's the right one. Sister Jackson will tell me if it's not when I try. But anyhow, the thing is, it's a struggle pulling the old man off. Paul says, He will fight you every step of the way. But Paul says, I die daily. So it's not I'm not living for myself. I'm living for the word of God. I'm living. But this has to happen through faith. That's why I say I die daily. The carnal man, there's a new creation. God's making you anew. You pulling off the old man. You have to have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Is that link between us and forgiveness, that you died with Christ. You have to actually believe you died with Christ. And that's the forgiveness of your sin, which provides the acceptable spiritual covering, that Christ is in you, and that you be led and guided by the Spirit, and it's necessary to be received into God's presence and the gift of life, because if you believe on Him, you have eternal life, and you have to live that way. You have to have that mind. So He's going to change that mind. Clothe. So I see I'm going to have to take off after I do this. I'm going to do three. We're going to try maybe to complete this in three messages. We'll come back to it in a couple of years, in a few more years from now, because I have to go through sanctification and self and some others. Clothe. it says, let us cleanse ourselves includes two aspects. First, the negative side involves putting off the carnal characteristics of the kind mentioned in Galatians 5:19. This will Galatians 5:19. I'm sorry I didn't put this in your notes, but Galatians 5:19, and remind me to make a copy of it and put it in your notes and email your copies of it. Galatians 5:19, this is what it says. Now the works of the flesh, you have to pull these off. I got to be here somewhere. For the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not done overnight. That's why I told Brother Washington, I said, well, Pastor, you think you ought to preach to these people on this, about their clothes and their earrings and watching TV and drinking? You know, I went to a Pentecostal church and they told me about TVs and church and this, and here I throwed all my stuff away, and they were worse sinners than anything else in the world, you know. And I'm like, man, my TV, I like watching TV, you know. My shirts and name. But see, nothing physical can make you spiritual. God has to make you spiritual. So God leads you and guides you to what's appropriate to watch on television. In appropriate dress, what to come in the house of the Lord wearing. He'll guide you and lead you in eating and everything. Man shouldn't have to guide you in that. He says you have no need of a teacher. The Spirit shall teach you and shall lead you and guide you in all truth. Only as a preacher and teacher, I confirm it, preach God's word and teach God's word. Hopefully you can eat of that word and get nourished and stronger spiritually. I'm not that concerned with your physical life, but that life is dying. The works of the flesh, okay, second, there's the positive side of putting on godly characteristics, such as judgment, mercy, and faith, which are out of our own Savior, Jesus Christ, says about the weightier matters of law. So it was better to me than to be strict about getting the Bible study, strict about my time, and have mercy and help this guy. Right? It, to have mercy and to walk in faith and be a person of sound judgment. These are the things that we need to improve in. These are the things that we need to grow in. So tonight, I wanted to introduce that, and I'll try to cover one more thing, but I'm going to have to take it off to next week. Putting off a death to the old man, because I told you earlier, something has to go. In other words, the only way you can have that covering is through death. That's how Christ had to, it was necessary for him to die. That's how he became our covering. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It reads in the Amplified Version, I think. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness. Complete holiness because we fear God. What promises? When you hear that, it says, therefore, because we have these promises, that's Corinthians 7:1, go up to the before preceding chapters to find out what promises he's talking about. That's in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we'll go to 2 Corinthians 6. And here are the promises that he's talking about. Let's start at verse 17. But he that is joined together unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own flesh. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? He's going to dwell in that temple, and he don't dwell in an unclean temple. If he shall dwell in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Those are promises and words of God that they belong to him, that you belong to him, that he is in you. Well, if you have that word, that promises, you could read the whole chapter 6. Well, that promise is that he was in you. He'll be a guide to you. He'll lead you into all truth, that he'll sanctify your word, your life, that sanctify them through your word. That word is what's going to cleanse you by taking heed into the word of God. Hide that word in your heart. God's going to clean your life up. Jesus Christ, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. That's why on the cross he says, it is finished. All you have to do is walk therein. Just do what I say. Continue in my word. Struggle to do everything. It's going to be a struggle. Sometimes you're not going to be able to do it. Sometimes the flesh will be stronger. But you have to keep pressing on. The dog that you keep feeding is the one that's going to get stronger. That inner man, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he's trying to overcome. So it's going to be a struggle. It's not going to be overnight. Right. You have to fight to stay clean. You have to fight. If you wear white clothing, you have to watch everywhere you sit. You have to watch everything you walk by. You have to watch everything. Because the nature of the beast is that you want to return to that vomit. You want to return to that old life. So if I don't like this stomach, I got to pass by those chicken places. I got to pass by a lot of places. I got to do these things. God says he can do these things through me. If that's those desires become that strong, is that for my health and strength to get around and to serve as God, I want my body in perfect shape. In other words, I want it strong enough that I could do things without being short of breath. That I could do things, because you know what? Sometimes if you're in certain conditions, you get mad because in your mind, your own mind does this to you, telling you that people are talking about you, saying this and that, and they ain't got you on their mind. They got better, bigger problems than you to worry about. But see, your own mind is telling you these problems. He's looking at me. I know she's saying this. I know that. They don't even know you exist, man. And then, what if they is? Who worried about what other people say? It is you that's being convicted about these things of your own self. So, what was I here? This death is achieved through repentance, because one believes he is a sinner. It is in a need of God's forgiveness, having broken his law and earned death. So you start seeing yourself as a sinner and that you're worthy of death. And as you see that way, you're looking for someone, something, and it's that spirit that saves you. That you know of yourself, you're worthy of death. It's only a savior that you need, Jesus, that you need his spirit to bring you through this. So what was nailed to the cross? What was nailed to the cross? Colossians 2:11-13. It says, in whom ye also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, and who had raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with Jesus. In other words, he made you alive in Jesus Christ in that identification with his body, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the way, nailing it into the cross. So what he nailed to the cross was the handwriting of ordinances, those things that was against us, that this man is dead. The notification is, this debt has been paid. Paid in full. And now you walk up and you realize that I have a new life. I've been redeemed. That debt's been paid. That bill collected cannot call me anymore. The wages of that was death, and I'm dead. Now I'm alive in Christ, and I have a new owner. I have a new slave owner. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm his bondservant. He owns me lock, stock, and barrel. My body, everything belongs to him. My life belongs to him. Now I got to keep pulling off that old man and drag him around. The other day, I was about to tell somebody something I shouldn't have said. But I went on and leveled with him, and I told him, because the devil was right there saying, lie about it. Don't. I said, well, no, look, I wasn't able to do this or whatever. It was so hot, I had to go buy air conditioning, and that took all my money. I knew after this, and I ate the fact. Just say, well, that's all right, Mr. Jackson. We could set up a new payment plan. And she forgave me of that debt that was going to be past due or whatever, extended the debt to start next month, and then skip the following month, and then start paying again the following month of November, October. And thanks to God, I didn't lie, else I'd have been in that same bind again next week, next month. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, help us to be strong in you and in